It's always good to be here with you. Happy Easter to you. Easter's always been a puzzle to me. We have Easter eggs and we have bunny rabbits. I have never seen an Easter chicken. But I know there is such a thing as an Easter bunny. I have seen it. Some of you have seen it. And if you don't believe it, there it is. So we know there is such a thing as an Easter bunny. We are glad this morning that you're here, and we appreciate so much your presence. We do want to consider this morning the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As we think about the resurrection, we are reminded of the Lord's Supper, which we have partaken this morning, which commemorates his death and his burial. And Jesus, in fact, said, "Do this until I come," so it implies also his resurrection. And as we consider what Jesus went through in the suffering prior to the time that he was nailed to the cross, and then as he, in fact, was nailed to that cross and died on it. And that suffering was for you, it was for me. He died so that we would not have to die spiritually. He was buried in that tomb, and then he was raised, as had been promised by the Old Testament prophets. In Matthew chapter 28, begin reading there in verse 1. "Now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn first toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his garment as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. And the angel answered and said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know you're looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he was lying. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he's going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you.'" As we think of the resurrection is proof of who Jesus is, that he is in fact the Son of God. In Romans 1, in verses 1 through 4, Paul introduces the book by saying, "Paul, a bondservant of Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh, who being declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord." Paul says that Jesus is proven to be the Son of God because of the resurrection. In John chapter 11, there Jesus had gone to see Lazarus, who had died. You remember he was sick, and this is before he actually raised him from the dead. And as he approached the town, we find there that Martha heard that Jesus was coming. Beginning in John 11 in verse 20, "Martha therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary still sat in the house. And Martha therefore said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you.' And Jesus said to her, 'Your brother shall rise again.' And Martha said to him, 'I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day.' And Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live, even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?' And she said to him, 'Yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. And so we see that the resurrection of Jesus is proof of who God is. He is the Son of God. But without the resurrection of Jesus, there would be no gospel. If Jesus had died and been buried and left in that tomb, he would have just been one among millions of others who died and was buried and decayed. But because of the resurrection, there is a gospel. There is good news that we might have salvation, that we might have eternal life. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 1, says, "I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which you are saved." It is this gospel that saves us then. What is it? He says, "If you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." Now here's what the gospel was that Paul preached to him. In verse 3 he says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. And after that, He appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as it were, to one untimely born, He appeared to me also." Peter, in preaching that first gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, tells us there, beginning in verse 22, he says, "Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs, which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know, this man, delivered up by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. And God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power." Death could not hold Jesus. Death is the work of Satan. And because of that, Jesus is more powerful. And because of that, there is a gospel, there is good news, so that we might have eternal life. And so our hope of eternal life is based on His resurrection. And because of His resurrection, we have the guarantee that we too will be raised from the dead. Going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning there in verse 12, Paul says, "Now if Christ is preached that He has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain. Your faith also is vain. Moreover, we're even found to be false witnesses of God, because we witness against God that He raised Christ, whom He did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless, and you're still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. And if we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we're all men most to be pitied. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep." Jesus is the one who opened the way to life eternal. And so He was raised from the dead, never to die again. He lives forever. And because He is raised, and because He lives forever, we too have the promise of being raised, and we can have the promise of living forever with Him. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 6 and verses 9 and 10, "Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again, death no longer is master over Him. For the death He died to sin once for all, but the life He lives to God." And so Jesus was raised from the dead, and He lives forever, and because of that, we too can live forever. But because of His death, because of His burial, because of His resurrection, He lives forever with the Father. And if we're going to have eternal life, then we must also die, we must also be buried, and we must also be raised again. And so in a spiritual sense, we go through the same process that Jesus went through so that we can have eternal life. And this is what Paul tells us in Romans chapter 6 and verses 4 through 7. He says, therefore we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, for He who has died is freed from sin. And so we have this freedom from sin, we have this promise of eternal life, we have the promise of the resurrection, because Jesus has been raised from the dead. We're united with Christ when we're raised up. We walk with Him in newness of life, we just saw. We become a new person in Him. We're united with Him when we're raised up from this grave of water through baptism. In Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 4, he says there, but God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And so we are united with Christ when we're raised up from this grave of baptism, and we become one with Him, and then we are to live with Him. And so as a new person, we live for Him. We live for God rather than living for ourselves. Staying in Romans 6, this time in verse 8, he says, now if we have died with Christ, we believe we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over Him. For the death He died to sin once for all, but the life He lives, He lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lust. Do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you're not under law, but under grace. And so because Jesus has been raised from the dead, we can be raised to be a new person in Jesus Christ, and we can live for Him rather than living for ourselves. The Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews chapter 4, there beginning in verse 14, he says, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. You see, He lived here on this earth, but He has ascended back to the Father. And He has passed through the heavens back into that heavenly place. He says, therefore, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. And so we see that Jesus has died for our sins so that we might have eternal life. When we go back and we think about it, He died for our sins. He was buried in a tomb. On the third day, God raised Him from the dead, from the grave, to prove that He is the Son of God. We read in Romans 15 where Paul said that every bit of this was according to a prophecy. You can go back to the Old Testament and you can read where it tells us that Jesus was going to die for the sins of people. Not only was the Messiah going to die for the sins of the people, but He would be buried in a borrowed tomb, and Jesus was. But not only would He be buried in a borrowed tomb, on the third day He would be raised from the dead, and Jesus was. All of this fulfills prophecy. His resurrection also proves that God accepted His sacrifice for our sins. If God had not raised Him from the dead, even though He had offered Himself as a sacrifice, we would have no way of knowing whether or not God was pleased with the sacrifice. But we know that He was, because God raised Him from the dead. And God has now made it possible for us that our sins may be forgiven. But we must come by faith to God through Jesus Christ. And what it means to come by faith to God through Jesus Christ means that we confess our faith in Jesus as the risen Son of God. And upon that confession of faith, we turn away from sin and repentance. We turn away from every form of sin in our lives, so that it is no longer we who are living, but it is Christ Jesus living in us, so that we might be what He would have us to be. And then we are baptized into Christ. And it is when we are baptized into Christ that our sins are forgiven. When we have accepted Jesus by faith, and we are baptized into Christ as an expression of that faith, then God will forgive our sins, every sin that we have ever committed, never to be remembered again. But not only that, He gives us His Holy Spirit to live in us, to help us to be strong, to help us to have wisdom, to help us to be molded, to help us to become like Him, so that we may serve Him. And He is given as a pledge or a guarantee of our eternal salvation. We must come to Jesus, and we must be faithful in our service. And if we do that, then we can have this promise of eternal life. This morning the question is, do you have this promise? Do you have this promise of eternal life today? If you do not, then you can have by coming to Jesus and coming to Him in faith, turning away from sin and repentance, and being baptized into Christ.